afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Monday, December 20th, 2021. Howdy, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
I'm glad to hear that. It's a beautiful day here down here in the hills. How about up your way?
Cold, but nice.
Sunshine, and it's pretty. It's
sun
only in the 40s
shining,
here,
but
it's
a little. It was a little nippy. I think it's the first time we got down into the 20s last night, and we're only 39 now, but sunny. And yeah, we've just hit our first.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
It's only 42 years. Not a lot of difference, but anyway.
Matching your age.
It is. I'm only 42 plus a little bit, but that's all right. I'll take it. I'll take it. It's amazing. Okay. I've been married more years than been alive. Isn't that something?
How about that?
It is something, ain't it? I mean.
How's that work?
I don't know, but gee. Okay, we'll get serious now, folks. Go ahead, Melody.
No, I don't want to.
I don't blame you. Don't blame you.
It's the end of the year. Oh, let's go ahead and see. Well, you know, gold had a down day today, down $8 at $1,791. Silver's down 12 cents today at $22.34. Platinum was down a buck at $946. Palladium was down 28 at $1,840. The USDX today was down 11 at 96.51. Crude oil took a beating down 220 at 68.66. Paper markets today. The Dow was down 433 points at 34,932. The S&P down 52 at 45.68. NASDAQ was down 188 at 14,980. They were all down, you know, a little over 1%. The Dow and the NASDAQ was down 1.25% or close to. Asia markets were all negative. Europe, I'm sure, was all negative. 10-year yield, 1.422%. So that was just up a little bit for the day. So everything is all based on the new infection. The Omicron variant. People just going nuts. And this is based on the fears. And I guess there will be announcements or discussion or something coming from the White House tomorrow in regards to this. So, just kind of interesting. It wasn't really a whole lot. News is going to be quiet this week. You know, we talked about Turkey's issues with their currency last week, Butch.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing something about it. So they've seen some benefits on their new rules and so forth. But really there wasn't, I think you probably have something on the Manchin's rejection.
I do. I sure do.
And I'm sure U.S. home sales to rise over 7% in 2021. And Fannie Mae expects them to fall for the next 2 years. Canada is going, in Quebec, they're shutting bars, gyms, casinos. And that's really, there's just not that much. And news is going to be quiet for the next 2 weeks as we go through the holiday, because they surely, they don't want to dampen the holiday season. So, you know. News will be a little bit to the quiet side, but mainly everything, Butch, is the Omicron.
Yes, it is. It's, you know, every time they get quiet, makes me kind of nervous what they're doing behind the scenes. That bothers me because I don't know that I trust a whole lot that any leader in this world does, basically here in America. But I did get my first story here today. It is not economic at all because I think it's really very important, and it could be that you're totally wrong with this, but I'm not going to say they are because this comes from a pretty good source. You'll find it on the website, folks. Russia plotting Christmas Eve invasion with 100,000 troops amassing on the Ukraine border. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. This is coming from sources that say it is likely it could happen. Both the Ministry of Defense and the Foreign Office have refused to comment on what action the UK might take in the event of invasion by Russia, which is looking likely. Now, I didn't make this up. This is for real. Minister warns invasion could spark World War III. We use your sign-in. Let's see if we can make this right. Okay. Intelligence chiefs have warned ministers of a very real possibility. Russia could invade Ukraine on Christmas Eve. Now, could that happen, folks? It could very well happen. Will it? I don't know. It would coincide with the 42nd anniversary of the Soviet Union's ill-fated invasion of Afghanistan. Up to 100,000 troops are massed on the border. Both the Ministry of Defense and the Foreign Office refused to comment on what action the UK might take in the event of a Russian invasion. Colonel Richard Kemp, a former commander of Afghanistan, said there's no possibility of direct military intervention by the UK, NATO, or the US in the event of Russian attack against Ukraine. I'll repeat that. There's no possibility of a direct military intervention by the UK, NATO, or the US in the event of a Russian attack against Ukraine. The invasion is a very real possibility, according to intelligence chiefs. The most likely option is diplomatic and economic sanctions. If this does happen, Melody, whether Ukrainians are fighting for their lives and what's left of their freedoms, U.S., NATO, and U.K. will be putting in place diplomatic and economic sanctions. Doesn't that sound kind of like a weak response for a country that trusted you to help defend what's left of your liberties and to defend your border? Isn't that kind of a weak response? Like, if they hit you, I'll yell at them. I mean, what deterrent is that?
Well,
I don't
you're
want to
right.
go further than that, but what deterrent is that?
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's, you know, we don't, well, you know, Butch, we don't have the money. We don't have, you know, what is our capabilities anymore? And, you know, Russia, we do something to Russia, we have to do something to China.
That's true.
And so, you know, China's, I don't think we want to mess with China. And China can do other things, too. No. Well, I don't know what Russia can do on their own, but I do know what they can do with Russia behind them. With China behind them. Yeah. So again, you know, we can come out, you know, and verbally, you know, say, you know, here's the red line. Don't you dare cross it or, you know, we're going to get tough. But that's all we can do.
Yeah, we'll hit him with our purse. It's just, I'm sorry, it's just the way it is.
Until something major happens, but, you know, what do we care about Ukraine? Why should we care?
When you see the advertisements for the Special Forces, the U.S., advertising how they want people to join and what for, and compared to the Russian advertisement of building men to do battle, we haven't been there for women travel and nothing to do about real battle. It makes you wonder how prepared we are. Now, of course, we're vaccinating most of the troops. What could that lead to? I don't know, folks. But I wouldn't put the odds in the U.S.'s favor against Russia and or China right now. But the according to this article, maybe Friday day, we will see. We'll soon see. It's only 4 days away.
Well, I'm in the believer, though. They're not going to make a pre-announcement of when that's going to happen.
I don't think they made announcements much as people are looking at the information saying it looks like it's a high possibility. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know that. But it's just, it could happen. And if it does happen, we'll see what happens then. But, folks, if you're a prayer individual, you need to pray for guidance on this for the world, not just us. But what Manchin did, as I said last week, some people call Manchin Mr. President. I know whether I like it or not, to tell you the truth. I'm not particularly a great Manchin fan, but Manchin not backing Dems' $2 trillion bill, potentially dooming it. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin said Sunday he cannot back his party's $2 trillion social and environmental bill, dealing a potentially fatal blow to President Joe Biden's leading domestic initiative heading into the election year when Democrats' narrow hold on Congress was already in peril. Manchin told Fox News Sunday that after 5.5 months of negotiations among Democrats in which he was his party's chief obstacle to passage, I cannot vote to continue with the piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there. He also said Manchin said during a local radio interview with Joe Biden's staff, did some inexcusable things which drove him to reject the Build Back Better plan. They figured surely to God we can move one person. We surely can badger and beat up one person up. Surely we can get enough protesters to make that person uncomfortable enough that he'll say, just okay, I'll vote for anything. Manchin continued, Well, guess what? I'm from West Virginia. I'm not from where they're from where they can just beat the living crap out of people and think they'll be submissive, period. So if he sticks to his guns, God bless him. But, he more or less told me that he's not going to be backed down because of pressure. And if he doesn't, he's one in a thousand, Melody, because most of them back down when they're pressured. You know that.
Correct.
So
true.
We will see. I've known Manchin personally, and I know he's not a friend, but he's an acquaintance. I've talked to him on about 3 or 4 different occasions. I think he's a decent individual, and I don't want to sound derogatory, but he's a politician. Who do I trust? I don't know. But the spotlight's been on him for quite a while. He's essentially the swaying vote in the Senate. He's the one that, if this is going to be stopped, he'd be the one to stop it, and apparently he's going to. This would mean that we won't have to pay each illegal immigrant who's separated from family $450,000 apiece. Hallelujah. It will cut back a lot of things that Biden had planned to undermine this economy even more. And even Manchin says it's going to cost great inflation and a whole lot of problems. So we will see what happens with this. I don't know, Melody, but I do admire his stand on this. I truly do, and I'm going to let him know that also. When somebody does something right, especially in the level he is in politics, well, I'm blaming him. I appreciate what he's doing. I took some guts to stand against that. It really did. His own party and the President of the United States, all in the same party, and he stood against him. I think that's commendable, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, his biggest complaint was that it costs too much, correct?
Yes, that was the biggest complaint, yes.
He
also said he couldn't understand it. He couldn't explain it to the people in the state. He said, if I can't explain it, I'm not going to vote for it.
So. But there wasn't ever one particular issue that he's made public that he's against.
Not that I know of, no.
The only thing is that it costs too much. So, I'd give him a little more credit if he, instead of just saying it costs too much, if we can't afford it, then why can't we afford it? Tell the people about the amount of debt that we, go one step further and, explain why you're not doing it. If you can't explain why you want to do it, then at least explain why you're not doing it. Other than that, that's it costs too much. So, did he just not get what he wanted? Did he want something for the state and they're not willing to give it to him? So that's why, that's the way I see it.
It's a good possibility. He didn't say that, but we don't know that. You're right. And
he didn't say anything.
He said he would vote maybe for a lesser spending amount. Perhaps he said that one time in the past. That if the bill won $2 trillion, he might go for it, but he's not going to go for that kind of money. I like to think he saw into it beyond what most people see. As I mentioned, the illegals getting $450,000 apiece if they're brought in here, separated from their parents, whatever. I like to think he saw that and said no, but I don't know that. So it's speculation on my part. I just know he's
going to win. See, I figured if it was that, he'd come out and say it. But he's not saying anything.
No, he's not
saying
anything.
At least not to where I saw or heard or read. So that's my complaint.
Well, again, I don't know what the reason was, but maybe there's a little reprieve there anyway. He did the right thing. Oops. In my mind. I would like no reason why. I truly would. I really would. Any more comments along those lines?
Nope.
I got another story I'm getting into. I hope we'll get to it before the break. Do you remember what was going on the day that had the bombing in Boston? A few years ago, the bomb went off there at the marathon. And what was going on 9/11? The same time they had the attacks. Do you remember what they were doing with drills? The same kind of drills to simulate what would happen if they had a bombing in Boston, or if somebody hit the Twin Towers. Do you remember that going on behind the scenes?
Mm-mm.
You don't remember that? Yeah, they were having drills. They were actually going to have drills in Boston about what happened if a bomb went off in Boston. They were having drills about what would happen. Those people probably don't know this. Having drills, what would happen if planes hit the Twin Towers? They were having drills about that. What are the odds of having drills on the days those things happen? Just a question. Now, this is a fact, and people already know this, but guess what the WEF is getting ready to do now? This should make you think, folks. The World Economic Forum simulates global cyber attack that could bring about Great Reset. Remember last week I said they want to go by the Georgia Guidestones and bring the world population down to 500,000 from almost 8 billion? Well, now they're going to do a simulated attack, cyber attack. This is from Natural News. That concerned me, Melody, knowing what I know in the past has happened in the past with drills going on the same day these things happen. The World Economic Forum is now predicting a global cyber attack that shares many characteristics with the Wuhan coronavirus. Klaus Schwab, founder and executive director of WEF, called this crisis scenario a great reset. The frightening scenario of comprehensive cyber attack could bring a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, or society as a whole, says Schwab. The COVID-19 crisis will be seen in respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. Now, this is what Schwab is saying, not me. I believe that there will be another crisis, said WEF Managing Director Jeremy Jurgens. It will be more significant. It will be faster than what we've seen with COVID. The impact will be greater, and as a result, the economic and social implications will be even more significant. Schwab, Jurgens, and other WEF executives described this Great Reset scenario as a massive, chaotic economic and social crisis that disrupts internet, communication systems, financial and monetary transactions. We're going to break and finish on the other way.
All righty. Stay tuned. We'll be right back and listen to a little Christmas music.
A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
In the meadow, we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, "Are you married?" We'll say, "No, man." But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
How about that? Oh, good. I love Christmas music. I really do. And listen to all the stuff that's produced in today's world. Nothing brings you back to, you know, a nice reality than Christmas music. So, anyway, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. If you're looking to buy some gold and silver, prior to the end of the year, you better hurry up. We are going to be closed, although I check messages and I end up spending the day in here anyway, but officially we're supposed to be closed Thursday and Friday of this week and Thursday and Friday of next week. So we're going to be taking a little bit of time off. Always leave messages if you call and, you know, we'll do the best to return your call. But 1-800-375-4188. Butch.
Okay, I'll finish this story, but I do want to share with you and Todd something during the break there. I want to share with the listeners, too, just that you talk about getting your mind off things a little bit. Several years ago, I used to own a horse, an Appaloosa, a real pretty animal, fairly good-sized animal, because I'm a fairly good-sized gentleman. And I used to love riding him in the wintertime, and when it's all still, no noise, except for him, his footsteps, and just ride through the woods and look and listen. I enjoyed that. I really did. After so many years, I did sell him finally. But I just bring back memories listening to that song. So I understand that, Billy. When you think about a winter wonderland and you're out with somebody, or just like I said, on a horseback all by yourself, it brings back good memories. Just the squeak of the saddle, you know, when the horse clops and just riding through the woods. But anyway, back to the news, which is a little bit on the scary side, no doubt, because we have Schwab discussing things that, if that happened, folks, it would change everything from now on. We're no longer normal. We haven't been normal for a lot of years, but especially since the 2020, in March 2020, normal went away. The final normal that we understood is gone forever. Understand that, folks. It's gone forever. It's not coming back. No point in expecting it. It is going to happen. I don't care how many shots you get, how many masks you wear, how much you obey the master. It's not coming back. Left up in paragraph here, it says, Schwab and Juergens and other WEF executives described this great reset scenario as massive, chaotic economic and social crisis that disrupts the internet, communication systems, financial and monetary transactions, the power grid, global transportation, and commodity trade systems. These compounding crises will have geopolitical ramifications. To simulate the lead up to the great reset, the WEF has sponsored multiple exercises that try and capture just how devastating it will be. Now, folks, if they didn't know it was going to happen, they wouldn't put enough practice to do it. Please understand that. If they didn't know it was going to happen, there's no point practicing against it. It's going to happen. Melody's been telling that for years. So have I. Many people that are at least somewhat knowledgeable on what's coming in this country, and especially Scripture, it's going to happen. The global reset will bring in what we call the beast system and total control. Get ready for it, folks. It's coming. But back to more right now information. Expect food price inflation skyrocketing in the U.S. after chickens, tractors, and grain silos were destroyed by deadly U.S. tornadoes. And, folks, you know what happened last weekend. The road to recovery will be long for farmers and ag businesses in western Kentucky following the storms that moved through the late last week. In Graves County, Mayfield, Kentucky, major agriculture companies were completely leveled. From a John Deere dealership to Mayfield Grain, which handles 40 million bushels of grain every year. Moreover, Pilgrim's Pride Hatchery was wiped out in Graves County. That will have a ripple effect on the poultry production in Kentucky for some time to come. We have a 200-mile swath through Kentucky that has pulled down grain systems, destroyed chicken and hatcheries, and, of course, blown over barns. When you have counties where the fences have been literally uprooted and tossed around, it's going to take some time to sort through animal losses simply because the cattle may not be there anymore. We've also secured holding facilities for cattle as well as horses. Anyway, so this is according to Charles Ryan Corals, Kentucky's Agriculture Commissioner. So another hit on the food supply. Revelation chapter 6 being fulfilled on that one even. Folks, this has all come together for, just as predicted. Protect yourselves, please, because here's another one to back this up. Thousands of truckers prepared to walk due to vaccine mandates, warned Canadian trucking groups. Now, this will affect the U.S. tremendously. Canadian trucking industry groups are warning the Canadian government that supply chain challenges will get worse unless there are changes to upcoming COVID vaccination mandates. The Canadian Trucking Alliance, CTA, says it estimates that up to 22,000 Canadian drivers will decide to leave the Canada-U.S. market when the Canadian government's planned cross-border vaccination mandate takes effect on January 15th. Now, folks, that's less than a month away. The U.S. government is also planning to implement a vaccination requirement for Canadian truckers on January 22nd. They get a double whammy. They can't come across the border in Canada, they can't get in the U.S. Based on a recent survey of its members, the CTA says many trucking companies are preparing to lose 10 to 20% of their drivers and potentially more than 20% in regions of the country with lower vaccination rates. There are also pockets of fleets throughout Canada with vaccine rates well below the 80% vaccination rate floor, CTA members have reported. Vaccination rates below 80% would lead to significant service disruptions, says CTA in a December 8th update. The CTA's estimate of 22,000 drivers leaving the industry due to cross-border mandates is low compared with projections from the Private Motor Truck Council of Canada, another industry association that represents private fleet operators. The PMTC says it expects over 31,000 cross-border truckers will leave the industry based on an anonymous survey of its members. Between 22 and 31,000 truckers will not be delivering supplies across the border. What would that mean for the USA? Really, what do you think it's going to mean for the U.S.? If 22 to 31,000 truckers say I'm not coming across the border hauling supplies, what would that mean to us as a country? You think it may make some shortages?
Well, we know that there's only a three-day delivery on grocery stores.
That's right.
3 days.
That's exactly right.
Of supplies. So,
folks, this is for real stuff. We're not making this up. This, we're just trying to tell you because we care. You better prepare yourself because this is coming. It's already started. Go ahead, Melody. I'll be quiet a minute.
No, I mean, you know, we already have shortages. Well, the shortages turns into nothing. There's no product to be had. I mean, it's one thing to be a little short on something, but it's something else when some of your main staples cannot be delivered. And it just isn't about toys. It just isn't about Christmas. It's about our main, you know, our main needs that we have to have.
Well, so, if you come right down to it, I think most of us could survive without our play toys, can we? We could survive without some luxuries, perhaps. But it's hard to survive without food. It's hard to survive without food, or electricity even, or other things, your medicines. It's hard to live without those things. And folks, they're all going to be hit, already are being hit. I have never had survive, the longest week that we've been without electricity here where I live has been 14 days. 2 weeks without electricity. We made it just fine. It wasn't easy, but we were ready for it. Melly, what that 14 days went into 14 months.
Yeah.
You know, 2 weeks or 2 years, put it that way. What would be the difference then? And I still had communications. I could still charge my phones and stuff. I mean, we still had communications. I had enough electricity to do that with the generators. But what would happen if we didn't have that? What if the stores, we had stores in here, we couldn't buy gasoline because the pumps weren't on. They have no electricity to run the pumps. So what if you didn't have a few gallon gas put back? Which I did, I do. What if? Folks, we need to quit saying what if, because it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I hope you're seeing that now. Anything you want to add to that, Melody?
No, I think the reality is there.
The biggest thing I missed during this 14 days without power, thank goodness it was summertime, because I could have heated water on the stove, of course. I had that ability to do that, but taking cold showers, even in the summertime, can be a shock to the system. It really can. But if that's what you got, that's what you do. You learn to survive. And I'm a lot older than most people listening probably, but I can remember before we had running water in the house or even indoor plumbing. Yeah, folks, we didn't have that here in this area in West Virginia for a long time. But we used to heat water on a cook stove in the kitchen to take a bath in front of the cook stove. These were what we did as a child. Up to about, I think, 12 years old. That's what we did. That wasn't anything. It wasn't a hardship. Most everybody else did the same thing. They didn't have any more than we had. So that's just things, folks, we may have to go back to. And it's going to be hard because most of us have never done that. If you want to add that, Melody, before we move on?
But we do adapt. I mean, we do adapt. We don't like it. But you do learn to, as you go along, to do what you have to do. And mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people out there who would prefer taking things also.
That's
the
problem.
They don't want to adapt. They want to take. And they want to take what you have. And that's the scary part of things.
And if you don't have electricity, you have no water supply in most places.
Right.
So what would they do then? I'm blessed here to have several creeks on the property. I can get water. I have to, and I can purify it. I have good water filters. I can purify it. But what if you can't get water? What if you don't have any stored food? What if you live in an apartment? I'm not trying to scare people, folks. I'm telling you the truth. What if? We've learned to depend on too many people to take care of us. If our supply chain is cut, most of us won't make it. For myself, I take medicine. I do. I try to take care of myself naturally and do pretty well, but I still take medicine. What if that's cut off? I'll have to either live without or die without it, one or the other. But it's going to happen one day. Our enemy provides our medicine for us. China makes most of our medicines. Let this sink in. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, you know, and another way of looking at this, so what if the supplies are there? But you can't afford it.
That's true. Very true. Very true.
And so, you know, something is there. Maybe there's bottled water you can buy. But
if it's there, yeah.
You didn't save. Maybe a bottle of water is going for $10 or more. What if you didn't protect your savings? You got nothing. So it could be there too, but you just can't afford it.
That's very true. And on the way, some good news for coal producing states and countries. Global coal power demand on track for record high as green energy transition crumbles. We talked about this last week. I know for a fact that you cannot supply enough electricity on solar or wind to keep us at current standards. It's impossible. It's not going to happen, folks. It can happen. That's why they want you to go to electric automobiles. You won't be able to travel as easy as you do now. It says there's no question that the greenification of the global economy has returned many industrial countries to coal in 2021. New data from the International Energy Agency show that the amount of electricity generated worldwide from coal is on track to hit a record high. IEA's Coal 2021 report says global power generation from coal soared 9% in 2021 to an all-time high of 10,350 terawatt hours. The rebound comes amid a rash of green policies and stupid political choices, such as decommissioning oil and gas-fired power plants and fossil fuel exploration products, ironically resulting in an energy crisis worldwide. The rebound is being driven by this year's rapid economic recovery, which has pushed up electricity demand much faster than low carbon supplies can keep up, IEA said. Also, the dramatic rise in natural gas prices forced power plants to source coal as a cheaper alternative. Coal has always been a good alternative, and it hadn't went away yet. They cannot supply the world's power with what they call green supplies. It isn't going to work. It can't work. It won't work. And that's just the way it is. So, again, what does the future hold on that? I don't know. But it's not looking good as far as us keeping our standard of living up where we're used to it. It isn't looking good at all. I don't see that that we have any alternative but going back to fossil fuels. And people say what they want to. They're dirty. They're what? Folks, they've got scrubbers on the coast, on coal now. And I know this for a fact. They live in a coal state that comes out almost as clean as the air around it is on the outside. This has all been advanced over the last several years. So green solutions are not going to work. Okay, Mel, they'll move on. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I don't think so. And they're really not going to work in the time frame that they set.
No.
That's the problem, is the time frame. And, I mean, it's not like they can just whip it out of their hot hat and, you know, with magic, you know. It's so anyway, their time frame is just unrealistic.
It would be wonderful if this was all possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we really could change some things. It'd be wonderful. But I do believe there's an agenda behind this movement to cripple the country more in a lot of different ways, and I have no doubt that's true. But it can't happen, at least not as of yet, with solar and wind. It just isn't possible. It's not available. Now, another big move coming on, we're talking about the COVID just a minute ago. OSHA vaccine mandate heads to the Supreme Court. I like to think that would be the end of it. I don't think it at all. The Sixth Federal Court of Appeals has weighed in on that crucial mandate from OSHA that all employers with more than 100 employees must institute extreme COVID controls while providing liberalization on the condition of vaccination. In practice, is a vaccine mandate that covers vast numbers of workers is likely to be expanded to cover everyone. Let me repeat that. It's likely to be expanded to cover everyone. The opinion was decided in OSHA's favor 2-1 at the Sixth Circuit Federal Court. Now they're going to move on to the Supreme Court, folks. Don't hold your breath that the Supreme Court is going to defend your rights, your constitutional rights or God-given rights or whatever it may be. Don't hold your breath on that. The decision has been appealed to the Supreme Court, which will likely make the final judgment. As this case grinds through the court system, workers around the country are being fired, mandates are going into effect, and cities are segregating the population based on their willingness to... Oh, it's break time again already.
It is. We'll be right back. Wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time, Butch.
Do you recognize that? Who's singing that?
Yeah.
I bet you
do you?
Yes, I do.
Who?
Andy Williams.
You're correct.
Of course I'm correct.
Gee. You're correct.
Did you really know?
You know, we're talking about shortages and things like that. And did you know there was a candy cane crisis?
Oh, really?
2021. Weakness in peppermint crops, and the COVID caused logistical issues for candy. This one store, the owner of Economy Candy on the Lower East Side, told the Post, raw material and ingredient shortages globally have quite an impact. They've only received about half of their candy cane order for the season and sold out almost immediately. And it was the first time that the store that had been in business since 1937, it was the first time that they sold out of candy canes.
That's just,
they
that's
sold
just
more than
much.
12,000 candy canes before running dry.
That's just and too much. We can't tolerate that.
Yeah. Peppermint production in the United States has declined nearly 25% over the past decade. Gee, you wonder why? Because it's coming in from somewhere else. It's all our great trade agreements, right, Butch?
That's very true.
We don't have to produce it anymore. We let another country produce it so we can buy it from them instead of producing it ourselves. So it's declined 25%.
And buy cheaper, too. Save a dollar.
Yeah. Now we can't get it.
Yeah.
To make a lousy candy cane.
I think we were worried about that a long time ago.
Yeah, and it's the holiday season, so you know gingerbread houses. You know, so, you know, you don't think, well, who cares about a gingerbread house? It's not that. You know, I mean, that's big business, too. And so a survey of local retailers found a mixed stocking of responses, some stuffed with plenty of candy canes without, while others struggling to keep it in stock. So some people said they can't find it anywhere. And so, again, just another holiday story of something that's in short supply. Candy canes.
Well, that is, what can I say? It's things we never dreamed of. Back to the article about the mandate that's heading to the Supreme Court. This should have everybody a little bit concerned. Again, the decision is appealed to the Supreme Court, which will likely make the final judgment. As this case grinds through the court system, workers around the country are being fired. Mandates are going into effect, and cities are segregating their populations based on the willingness to acquiesce to government's mandate medicine. Government's mandated medicine. Think about it, folks. Government's mandated medicine. And Melody, before going further, you know what the word government means in Latin? Now, this is real. Government means in Latin. It comes from two words from Latin. It means mind control. Control mind. That's what it means. I'm serious. Anyway. The majority begins its decision with this chilling announcement that smacks of ideological bias. Recognizing that the old normal is not going to return. Now, folks, this is not coming from me, okay? Recognizing that the old normal is not going to return, employers and employees have sought new models for a workplace that will protect the safety and health of employees who earn their living there. In need of guidance on how to protect their employees from COVID-19 transmission while reopening a business, employers turned to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the federal agency, asked task for assuring a safe and healthful workplace. But they said the old normal will not return. I do believe that's a very truthful statement that no one wants to hear or believe, but doesn't change it, does it? Doesn't change it.
Mm-mm.
And the White House has said to the unvaxxed, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death. White House COVID-19 Response Coordinator Jeff Zients predicts a winter of severe illness and death for Americans who decide not to take the vaccination for the CCP virus, which causes the disease COVID-19. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death, said Zings during a White House COVID-19 update Friday. For yourselves, your families, and the hospitals, you may soon overwhelm. For yourselves, your families, and hospitals, you may soon overwhelm. The grim message from the White House comes a day after a panel of advisors to the CDC and prevention, CDC, unanimously voted to recommend the agency tell the public that the Moderna and Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines are preferred to the jab from Johnson & Johnson. Any vaccination is better than no vaccination, said CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky of the J&J jab after considering endorsing the panel's recommendation. Additionally, Pfizer-BioNTech announced Friday that they will add a third vaccine dose to ongoing clinical trials on children as young as six months, as the two doses do not produce a robust immune response in kids 2 to 5 years old. Down to 6 months now. And the Pfizer and Moderna are preferred to the Johnson & Johnson, but any vaccination better than no vaccination at all. Melody, it sounds funny, but why are you laughing?
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, is how they're just, you know, Johnson & Johnson is different than the Pfizer and Moderna, and the way it gets hammered. You don't want that, you know, when you hear everybody talking about it and so forth. It really is amazing. And they pretty much just kind of came out now and says, don't even take the Johnson & Johnson anymore. That's because it doesn't kill you like the other two. But anyway.
Down to 6 months old, Melody. Down to six months old. People don't let them do this. Don't let them do this to your children, please. Now, according to Fauci, mask wearing on planes may be here to stay. According to the Washington Post, mask wearing on planes may be here to stay, top federal infectious disease expert Anthony Fauci says. In an interview on ABC News this week on Sunday, he was asked if he believes there will be a point when it's not necessary to wear masks during air travel. I don't think so, he said. I think when you're dealing with a closed space, even though the filtration is good, that you want to go that extra step. I believe, Melody, somebody said that in the past. This wouldn't go away. Mask wearing would not go away. I think when you said it, I've said it. Other people said it. Mask wearing would not go away. The new normal is the normal, is it not?
True.
I don't know why people can't see this happening, because it's right in front of their face. It's really happening. And to show you how bad it's getting with fear, a patient at a care facility was in cardiac arrest. Paramedics refused to enter, citing COVID restrictions. California paramedics allegedly refused to help a patient due to COVID restrictions. Police body cam footage shows two radio fire responders refusing to enter the care facility on November 17th. When the police officer entered the room in a Southern California care facility last month, he found a panicked nurse performing chest compressions on a patient. Body camera footage shows the patient was in cardiac arrest and the staff did not have the proper equipment to help, according to the police report. But just outside the entrance of the building stood two cowards, almost that way, two paramedics equipped with possible life-saving tools. What did they do? They refused to cross the threshold, claiming it was against the state COVID virus rules, according to the report. They'll let somebody die because they're afraid of somebody, so you're going to break the rules. So the officer jumped into action, helping the staff push the bed, which was not on wheels, through the building, not the front door, to the first responders from the Rosho Fire Department. The patient, who has not been identified by authorities, was taken to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. Oh, my, my, my. Melody, they'll let somebody die because some ten penny tyrant said you can't cross the threshold.
Probably the union.
Well, according to this, I think it was some kind of, but they thought it was some kind of state law, I think it was. And they let this person die. I don't know what to say. To me, that's not just being cautious. That's being cowardly. Then they were suspended for a while to look into it further. But I've always thought that somebody's life was more precious than some little flippant rule with us that we can't cross this threshold. What happened to the lovely fellow man? Pardon?
It really is sad.
It is sad, beyond sad. Austria is going to impose one-year prison sentences on the unvaccinated. Ah, folks, this is happening. According to reports, unvaccinated citizens in Austria could face prison time for failing to comply with the COVID-19 vaccine mandate currently in place. This is happening to people all over the world. We just saw, just read to a person died in a facility because the paramedics were afraid to cross the line. Now in Austria, they were going to imprison people for a year. Suzanne First, F-U-R-S-T, First, of the Austrian Freedom Party, which voted against an amendment to an administrative law, warned that a year's imprisonment could be introduced to punish the unvaccinated. The amendment raises fines for failing. Now listen, this is unbelievable. The amendment raises fines for failing to comply with the mandate from 726, is it a pound? Or I guess it'd be, no, 617 pound, which equals $818 to 2,000 pounds or $2,255, whilst increasing prison time for those who refuse to pay from 4 weeks up to a year. Not only would the Australians who failed to comply with the vaccine mandate in February face fines up, I just read, I can't read these numbers, those 400 miles, but those who failed to pay would face 12 months prison sentence. The amendment also requires people who are jailed to pay for their own imprisonment. I don't know what to add to that.
There's not much to add.
We're laughing, folks. I mean, we either laugh or you cry. I guess you couldn't. But this is actually happening, and this is part of the plan to enslave the world. So, yes, a reset very well could happen, because even in England now, UK, people are starting to get upset and riot in the streets over these mandates. A reset that will shut down the world's economy, the communication systems, all banking systems, everything, would certainly scare the people back into submission, perhaps, at least a lot of them. But it will certainly end the any chance of any organized resistance to what's happening. This is all part of the plan. The new normal is here. The old normal is gone. Melody, I don't know much clearer we can put this. I don't what else we can add that makes this any more plain to anybody that's listening. This is happening right now. This isn't something we see in science fiction. This is happening right now. What do you think about that?
I mean, I can remember doing a program when this all started. I was doing it with, we did it here too, but I think that one of the first ones was with James Corbett, and that was the discussion. It was like, the world has changed. It's never going back. We're entering a whole new era of what's right and what's wrong, what's normal, what the reality is. And it's, you know, 2 years later, here we are.
Yep. And I'll close with this article. Thanks, kind of interesting. This is in China for right now. They're seeing how it's going to work worldwide, maybe. McDonald's has a new system in its restaurants, eat-in restaurants. McDonald's fans go wild over video showing customers riding exercise bikes as they dine. There you go. McDonald's fans are going wild over a clip showing customers riding exercise bikes as they chug down a meal, but with a health craze fad make its way to the UK. It's fair to say McDonald's has done a lot over the years to clean up its image of being a junk food mecca, but one restaurant in China has taken at a whole new level. One McDonald's restaurant is taking the health craze to a new level. It is in a now viral TikTok clip. McDonald's diners can be seen making use of a particular type of instrument, one that you wouldn't expect to see anywhere near a fast food restaurant. The hilarious video was clocked 24.5 million views, 2 million likes, over 38,000 comments. Shows customers in an unknown McDonald's diner in China downing their burgers as exercised on a branded sports bike. One woman can be seen gorging on a hamburger and guzzling what looks like Coca-Cola as she exercised on a bike. Melody, how's that for an idea?
Sounds like a plan to me.
That's what one person said. Well, you still consume more calories than you burn, so you're not gaining anything. But, I mean, sitting on a McDonald's exercise bike eating a hamburger, I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad idea necessarily, but it's certainly different. Got to give them an A-plus for inventions for sure. So I thought you might like to know that. So next time you go to McDonald's, tell me you want an exercise bike where you're sitting.
Roll it out, please.
Roll out there. But this is the world today, folks. Who was used to say bought a concrete? You know, supposes this is more. This is the news today. Whatever. This
hey,
is what's happening in the world today.
We're out of time, Butch.
I hear that.
You went over.
I did.
Solid. Wow. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned. Well, stay tuned for tomorrow. Till then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad.